The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. The mother of James and John approached Jesus and said, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom." And Jesus said, "You don't know what you're asking, do you?" And in fact, she did not know what she was asking, because do you know the only time in the Bible in which anybody is ever mentioned as being at Jesus' right and at his left? It's on Calvary. And they led him to a place called the Skull, and there they crucified him between two thieves, one at his right and the other at his left. So be careful what you ask for, Mama, because in God's reckoning, real greatness comes from great sacrifice. Now, this is the third time in the Gospels in which Jesus predicts that he's going to be killed. And this is the clearest of the three, but it fails to register with the apostles, who are only thinking about glory. He even calls them aside for private instruction. He couldn't be clearer. But it fails to register with the apostles. They're thinking only about great glory. And there will indeed be great glory. But first, there's going to be great, great sacrifice, as our Lord is going to hand himself over as a sin offering for the people. And he says he's going to be handed over to the Gentiles. He'll be mocked, scourged, and crucified. And you know what's interesting about that? If you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, right, it's in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, Moses warns the people that with this covenant the Lord is making with you, if anyone ever breaks this covenant, there's going to be four curses that will fall upon you. You'll be handed over to the Gentiles, you'll be stripped, you'll be scourged, and you'll be killed. Now, the people broke the covenant, right? They broke the covenant with the Lord. We broke the covenant with the Lord too, right? By sin, by extension. And if you ever stop to consider, there's only one way out of a covenant. There's only one way out of a covenant, and that's by death. Think about marriage as an example. Marriage is a covenant. What's the only way out of a covenant? Till death do you part. The only way out of this covenant will be by death, but it'll be by our Lord's death, and he will be handed over to the Gentiles, mocked, scourged, and crucified. There will be great sacrifice, and from that will come great glory. And in this, our Lord is teaching us that the way to real greatness is not from aggrandizement of the ego, but from emptying it out. Now, the frightening prospect in all of this, and this is actually my little point for the day, the frightening prospect in all of this is that he asked us to come and join with him. If you would be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. Follow me into great sacrifice. Follow me into great glory. Very, very frightening prospect. All of us think that this is a wonderful idea for other people, right? It's a wonderful idea as long as Jesus does it. But then he invites us to join into it as well. And my little point for the day is this. The only way that we can carry the cross with the Lord is to remember that he's with us every step of the way. You never carry the cross with the Lord alone. Not only is he with you personally, but you know, he also sends people into your life. Do a meditation on the Stations of the Cross one of these days as you make the Stations of the Cross. And tell me if you don't notice this. Jesus is never alone. There's always somebody with him. Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem. Jesus meets his afflicted mother. Jesus is taken down from the cross. Jesus is helped by Simon of Cyrene. Always somebody with him. Our Lord sends people into our lives to help us. But the most important fact of all is that he himself is there. And that's all we need. It's like he said to James and John, "Can you drink the cup of suffering that I'm going to drink?" he asked. Not, "Can you drink the cup of suffering all by your lonesome self?" No, "Can you drink the cup of suffering that I'm going to drink from?" An unbelieving mind looks at suffering and asks, "What's going to happen to me and how much is it going to hurt?" We don't want to think like that. We want to think rather that no matter what happens to me, Christ will be with me. He will be at our side. And brothers and sisters, that presence will be all we need. Amen.